We'll be looking at John 1 today, taking more or less an overview of verses 14 through 18. Verse 14 tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What a verse. This verse is one of the clearest in all the scriptures regarding the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Incarnation simply means the bodily manifestation of a supernatural being. This verse tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The manner of his incarnation is a mystery. How could God become a man? The answer to this question lies in the mind of God alone. All we know is that God chose a virgin named Mary and caused her to miraculously conceive and bring forth a baby. I personally do not know how on that night when Jesus was born, God had come to earth. Somehow, the Word became flesh. While Jesus himself had existed from all eternity past, he took upon himself a robe of flesh there in Bethlehem. The Creator was born to the creature. God placed his life in the hands of mortals. What a scene that must have been. This verse tells us that God dwelt among us. That word is rich in meaning. It literally means that Jesus Christ pitched his tent here among mortals. He lived among us, worked among us, prayed among us, suffered among us, and died among us. God walked upon the earth and was unrecognized by many who came into close contact with him. What a tragedy that men came into contact with the Savior and they still failed to recognize him. He became flesh. The Word was made flesh. This word carries the meaning to appear in history. Made flesh. Appeared in history, stepped onto the stage of history. There in Bethlehem, God stepped out of eternity and onto the stage of human history. He came, a tangible proof of the existence of God and of God's willingness to save mankind. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's willingness to save mankind. When he was here on earth, and through the record left to you and me, we can see that Jesus Christ came to this world to reveal God to men. In verse 18 we see, he hath declared him. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has declared him. He did this through the medium of his flesh. In 1 John 1, verse 1, we read this. Excuse me while I flip over there. 1 John 1:1 tells us, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. That's the Apostle John saying, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the Word of life. Many times we can envy the men that lived in the first century, but yet I remember the words of Jesus Christ. He tells us in John 20, even though he declared the Father, he was among men. In John 20, verses 24 through 29, we read this. Excuse me a second, I have a new Bible here, and the pages are kind of stuck together. John 20, verses 24 through 29. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet I believed." Do you not realize, brothers and sisters, that we are more blessed than the early disciples because we have not seen, yet we believe in him? We have not seen. So don't be romanticized the first century because they saw Christ, because it says that we are more blessed. It says in our text that we beheld his glory. John actually saw the glory of Jesus Christ in a real sense in Matthew 17. John, along with James and Peter, accompanied Jesus upon a mountainside. There Jesus allowed the veil of his flesh to be pulled aside, and he revealed the glory that was concealed beneath. Jesus concealed his heavenly fame with an earthly frame. However, his greatest glory was revealed the day he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross and die for sinners. On Calvary, the glory of God was in sharp focus. After all, that was the reason why Jesus Christ left the halls of glory and came to live among men. He took upon himself a robe of flesh so that he might be able to redeem his people. That is what he did for each and every one of us that believe, brothers and sisters. To me, the greatest evidence of the glory of God is the broken body of Jesus Christ, having demonstrated his love for us in the clearest of terms. We find that in Romans 5. Verse 8, where the scripture tells us that God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God manifested his love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. In verse 18 of our text, we read this. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has declared him. According to this verse, Jesus Christ came to reveal God to man. That word declare means to unfold. Everything the Lord did was simply in an effort to unfold more of the revelation of God to man, more than had been revealed to man for thousands of years. Men needed to see God. For men had only seen God as the lawgiver. They never seen him as one that was full of grace. They had only seen him as the lawgiver. And now Christ was revealing another side of God. Not just the lawgiver, but also one that loveth men. Not only as a judge, but as a justifier. Not as some men, not as some, to some men as a stern, hateful God, but as a saving God, a caring God, a compassionate God. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed the grace and truth of Almighty God that had never been seen before. Look at John 14, verses 7 through 9. John 14, 7 through 9. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet have not thou known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. He has seen me has seen the Father. They have seen the lawgiver of the Old Testament now, full of grace and mercy. In Colossians 1, verse 15, we read, Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? We had finally seen the Father in Christ. Christ said, If you see me, you've seen the Father. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, God, who at sundry times and divers manner spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The Father has spoken, brothers and sisters, to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. God in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to put God on display before men. And he did this in two primary ways. First of all, back in John 1 and verses 4 to 9, he came to proclaim that light. He came to a world that was in spiritual darkness. He opened the curtains of heaven. He opened the way to the Father, revealing the truth of God to men who were wandering in darkness. Verses 4 to 9 speak of the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. To bear witness of the light. One leads to salvation. The other leads to damnation. The light leads to salvation. And the other leads to damnation. We see in John 3, verse 36, He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. thank God for the light that he has given to fallen men. Now, we don't have to be bound by the law, but we're free to respond to the grace of God. We are free. The light has come. The light has come in the darkness. Christ came full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 10 through 13 of chapter 1 of John, Christ came to proclaim life. Christ came to his people. He came to his people who had his word, the Jewish people. They had his word. They were living in the promised land. He came to tell them that there was a way to come to the Father and to experience eternal life. And what may be the saddest verse in the scripture, look at verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The light came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. They refused this call from the friend of sinners to come to him. However, verses 12 and 13 give us a great hope. It makes it clear that anyone who will respond positively to the light of God, they can come to Christ. They can receive him, and they will experience the new birth and will enter into eternal life. Look at verses 12 and 13 of John 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. God in Christ, being full of mercy, comes into this world as a light. Thousands and thousands of years have passed from the beginning of time. Thousands of years had passed, and man had not known. They only had a glimmer. Christ had now come to reveal the Father. He has declared him. He has revealed himself to mankind. John makes it clear in verse 13 that the light comes not by our natural birth, not by blood, not by our own good works. It says, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the work of another, the will of man, but only through the will of God. And what is the will of God? We see the will of God revealed in John 6, verses 36 through 40. Some verses that are mind-blowing. Beginning at verse 36 of John 6. But I said unto you, that you also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What glorious words is that? All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, no way cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. As I say, you want to know what the will of God is? And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of God, my friend, if you're listening today. And if you've never come to Christ, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Christ came down from heaven, not to do his own will. Remember, Christ prayed, nevertheless, thy will be done. Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Father sent Christ. Christ came into the world. He was the light that came into the darkness. Not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. That of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. That everyone, that would include you and I, everyone which sees the Son and believeth. You can see Christ, you can give mental assent to Christ, but you must believe on Christ in the saving way, may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Christ told us that he is the door, that he is the way, that he is the truth. If anyone will enter into life, they will enter through Jesus Christ. The only way, my friend, to be saved is to come to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we who have come to Jesus Christ, we have experienced his grace and his mercy. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And my friend, I'm speaking today, I'm declaring to you that same truth that Christ declared 2,000 years ago. That you must be born again. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm declaring the same God to you that Christ declared thousands of years ago. If you would be saved, you must come to Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth. No one comes to the Father but through him. I can't say that I understand all of the truths that I spoke of today. I can't say that I understand them. I know the scripture declares it to be true. How does God become man? I don't know. That's beyond my comprehension. It's beyond anybody's comprehension. I'm simply declaring to you what Jesus Christ said, what the scriptures declare about him. As I said, I can't understand all of these truths. I can only declare to you what Christ has said about them. I can praise the Lord for revealing himself and his Father to us. I'm glad that a sinner like myself can come to Jesus Christ by simple faith and can be eternally saved by his grace. I may not know a lot about the scripture, but I'm glad I know that the word of God declares to me that I can know, that I can be saved. I don't need to know every single truth that is in the scripture, even though I strive to want to know the truth, but I know the truth that Christ has declared unto me. Behold, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Christ said, he has declared these truths to mankind, and that we are ambassadors of Christ, and we are to declare these truths to mankind. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, for those of us that are in Christ, should this not cause us to rejoice? To rejoice no matter what this life would throw at us, no matter the tragedies, the pain, the heartaches that come into our life, no matter what happens, we have beheld the light. There was a man sent from God, and that man was God in the flesh. God in the flesh. He is the one that has come to redeem men and women, boys and girls, for their sins. Come to Christ today and be saved. You who have come to Christ, let us rejoice and be glad, for this is the will of God for us.